outside of like Hard Knocks, you have HBO Max, don't you?
No, I do not. I will admit though that House of the Dragon, I'm like, it is a consideration.
I'll tell you, I'm gonna watch it, okay?
Yeah.
But from what I've seen, why is everything so dull? Like, Game of Thrones had a lot of, like, you know, yeah, maybe it takes place in a desert, I don't know. But everything's just dull. It's grays and beige. And I'm like, Game of Thrones is pretty vibrant in places.
Obviously, when they are up north, it always stood out with all the real whiteness going on there.
Yeah.
You did kind of feel...
But even...
It feels like they're going to be a little more, and I don't know, like, I guess it depends upon how much conquering and whatnot they do. I'm like, yeah, you're kind of a little more localizing yourself, maybe for a lack of a better term, if you're just dealing with the Targaryens.
Yeah, it's just them. And I guess it's like, I don't know if it's 1,000 or 300. It's 300 or 1,000 years in the past, so there's no chance they run into anybody from the original Game of Thrones.
Right.
I guess that gets established pretty quick. Or so there's a big enough time jump, I should say.
Yeah.
So maybe things are different, but, I mean, even, like, the dullest part was always, like, the Iron Tribe.
Oh. The Seafaring Tribe?
God. Yeah, them.
That
was always the dullest. But I mean, you always had bright green, sky blues, even when they were in the... Man, my Game of Thrones, I'm losing my knowledge of it.
yeah, that's why I'm not trying to name stuff, because I'm like, I don't...
Yeah.
Even though we did watch that one relatively recently, just because I did not watch that on time, like... I knew how disappointing the ending was well before I ever got to, like, years plural before I got to that ending. So.
Yeah, as someone who watched it from the beginning, that was, I haven't gone back to watch that last season, but I can't imagine it's going to help.
No, time did not do that any favors. Because, like, I can see how you get from point A to point B, but the story, to me, wasn't told.
No. I don't even know if they make these anymore. Remember Cliff Notes?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Oh, I thought you were going to elaborate.
Yeah, sorry. No, I blanked out. I'm perking back up, so... No, like her birthday's tomorrow, so we both had a day off, so we just went out and we met up with Jonathan and didn't drink much, but we were just out all day.
Oh.
We got out at 2:30, we got home at 9. Or like 8:30, like what the hell just happened to the day? So
Yeah.
But no, like it's like a Cliff Notes version, like, all right, we gotta do this. And there we go. Don't worry about the pacing or logistics of anything else that's happened in the series. Because, you know, like when you marched from one side of the kingdom to the other, and it took you an entire season, and you may not have gotten halfway through. But yet, Daenerys is showing up on a dragon to save Jon Snow, who just marched across the kingdom again. Like, what the hell? Like, do they have teleporters all of a sudden? Like, none of this makes any sense.
I guess I wasn't even thinking about, because the biggest one to me, like, Daenerys torching the city, I'm like, I could see this happening, but they didn't play out her craziness well enough. Like,
no,
they had hints of it in there that it was happening, but yeah, to go back to the Cliff Notes version, it was just like, they really did just have, like, these little hints, and that was it. And it's just like, you guys needed to...
Well, her dad went mad, or her uncle, whoever went nuts.
Yeah.
Her brother was a nut. yeah, she's crazy. Like, wait, what? Like, she spent the entire series not being that way. And then the last season, maybe season and a half, giving subtle hints that, yeah, I'm going to go nuts or I'm going to get revenge. Okay. And then she falls in love. She's got a lover who's actually her brother? Half-brother? Cousin?
Cousin, I think? Out to be? Yeah, I think anyway, it'd be cousin. Something in that area. Thing.
Yeah. And then he's like, don't do this. Okay. Ah, fuck you. I'm going to do it. It's like, this. It should have been at least two seasons, at minimum, of her falling apart. Like, the whole time getting to the end.
Oh.
And then you're like, oh, she's actually going to... Yep, she did. And so he and I argued about this the whole time. The way Jon Snow just walks up there and stabs her to death is fucking ridiculous. And survives. He's like, well, he walks right by the dragon. The dragon's like, hey, what's up, buddy? No. She doesn't have guards and shit? Like, it didn't make a lick of sense. And he just walks off into the north and takes off forever. Like, what? Yeah, it just sped up. And then, as it turns out, like, those guys just wanted to be done with it. Because they had a deal with Disney to do Star Wars movies. Like, their own trilogy of Star Wars or Netflix or something like that.
Mm.
So they were just trying to get out of it.
Good. Well, yeah, I mean, and you can tell. I mean, and yeah, that's the problem. Like, because I know that some of the seasons, most of them were 13, but weren't there a couple that were just 12 or something like that? And I'm like, that was the other thing. Like, when you only do 8 episodes or something like that, even if they're longer episodes, it doesn't really make up for the extra episodes.
Yeah. Or if you split your season up and have 2 episodes and 1 episode's 2.5 hours for no reason. I don't know if you're familiar with Stranger Things or not. So,
well, I only watched the
most
recent season.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't do that before. So when it was one, Stranger Things pissed me off because they said this was the final season forever. Then all of a sudden, there's another season. So I was like, what? And this last is a season of Stranger Things was just meh. And again,
oh, that's hilarious. This past one you thought was meh?
No, I thought it was okay. I don't think it was the greatest.
Okay, well,
like, they did a lot of copping out to me. So
yeah, I mean, it got me into the series, I guess, and I know that our fellow stunt grannian, Mr. Phillips, there, he has it as his favorite season. I haven't seen all 4 seasons, so I can't qualify it in that kind of terms, but I did enjoy that quite a bit.
I enjoyed parts of it quite a bit. The whole Vecna thing. And it took me a second to get back into the series because they took almost 2 years off. And I forgot it's supposed to be somewhat of an homage to 80s movies. And so when it came back, and they've got, like, the guy doing the pep rally, and I'm like, what is this? And I was like, oh, god damn it, that's right. I totally forgot. And then once I remembered, I'm like, okay, I'm back on board.
Yeah. Isn't every show the 80s now, or does it just feel that way?
Yeah, well, this was on purpose, I guess. So it's just easier, less technology, all that stuff. I mean, I kind of understand.
I mean, I do feel like that's one of the big reasons why people have gone back to, like, I don't feel like dealing with fucking cell phones in my show. Like, no, people.
I mean, that's got to be a disaster. like Psycho. Like, they had some article about Psycho. I'm like, Psycho will be over in 2 minutes.
Oh.
Hey, I saw my buddy's car behind them. Okay, be right there. The end. I mean, it's not fun. So, but no, the reason I just thought it was okay was it was all over the place. It got too sensational. And, like, it wasn't grounded at all. Like, them flying over to Russia, that whole side story.
Oh.
I was like, what is, like, what? and it dragged on forever. And then, like, being betrayed, I was like, do we really need to do this? Like, do we need to have, like, Winona Ryder and the other guy that no one really cared about show up in Russia and go through all this stuff?
Murray cracked me up.
I forgot about him until he showed up again. I was like, oh, yeah, that's that guy.
Yeah.
But we also, like, you said you only saw this season of it, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Yeah, and one of the things that got me was they were constantly copying out. It was clear the one kid was going to die, and he did. And they kept teasing killing Max. And it's like, every other person, dead. Vector gets them, dead. That's it. And with her, they're like, the first time, I was like, oh, shit. Like, okay, they got some balls on them. Because that's a tragic story. If you haven't seen the other seasons, her brother died in the other season. I can't remember, still married, or was married to, like, this alcoholic abuser guy. Like, what a tragic story. And I was like, that's heavy. And then they cop out and don't kill her. And then it comes back later in the episode, and they're breaking all over. And I'm like, oh, shit, they suckered me, okay. And then she's on life support, and it's like, okay. I kind of get they're probably going to bring her back, but I really kind of hope they don't. Because he killed everybody else. Unless they saw that she's something special, but then it makes 11 not as special, so you can't do that. What really got me, the parts I really like, though, which probably was kind of lost on you, was going back to the cabin, him coming home, like, all of them reuniting at the end.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, yes, let's go. Like, you won me over again. So, with like, all of, like, my minimal complaining and not explaining why I didn't like it, the end really got me. I was like, hell yes.
No.
So, I mean, I'm still on board. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to watch the next one.
Now I've just got to figure out when to, and I still haven't done that, go back to watch the first four seasons or three seasons.
The episodes aren't as long. You can probably bust through them pretty easy.
Yeah, there's some other things.
It won't ruin your equipment.
That's
for sure.
Oh, yeah, because I still haven't finished Clone Wars yet, although I'm really close on finishing Clone Wars.
So. I still have to finish Moon Knight still. I only got one episode left. That's how uninterested I've been in that.
Yeah.
And now She-Hulk's out.
So oh, yeah, I'm like...
That, I already know I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, have fun, She-Hulk. I'll see you maybe sometime eventually.
She-Hulk's always been a goofy character. And she only got popular when John Byrne took her over, made it kind of funny because of the absurdity of it. And then she would break the fourth wall and, like, talk to the comic readers. So then this looks like they're doing some of the same stuff. I'm like, oh. But then they still have the douchey Hulk thing going, which I hate this version of the Hulk. And everyone keeps calling him Smart Hulk. He's not Smart Hulk. There's two different things. And then, of course, she's stronger than him, faster than him, smarter than him. I'm like, oh, my God. I think I complained about this last show. You get a character, and you're like, no, you're going to like this one better because they do everything better than the one you love. But I still love the other character. So you're insulting something I love by trying to tell me I'm going to love something that you created that you want me to love instead. Like, it's not organic.
Oh, right.
Which I shouldn't think of this way because I haven't seen the show yet. But what I've read, it's exactly what happens. So...
I mean, I feel like a lot of these, it kind of happens in the superhero genre, kind of in general. It's just like, oh, well, the next thing along needs to be bigger and better, or else why did we do it? So it's just like, okay. You know, like, the original story is always kind of good, but sometimes it gets a little much when you're just... I guess I think back to Dragon Ball Z, where it's just like, oh, well, Nope. There's another new ultimate bad guy, and ooh, look at here. There's another new ultimate bad guy, and we got to level up again. It's just like, okay, yeah. Guys, I don't really hate you, but this story is a little the treads are wearing a little bit thin for me here.
I mean, the only time I really watched Dragon Ball Z was at your place. And when I visited you for almost a week one time, and it was the same goddamn fight scene for 5 episodes. And I'm like, fuck this show. You're like, no, it's really good. I was like, no. This is ridiculous. Fight or stop fighting. Some green dude? Piccolo was his name?
Well, yeah, that was the big Frieza-Goku fight. But the Piccolo one would have preceded that, because he got defeated by Frieza first. Because I remember when Ken and I had the mod on for the DBZ, the Reddit mod on for the DBZ Reddit, I was just like, oh, why don't I go back and watch that Frieza-Goku fight before we interview her to ask some questions about it? And it's like 2.5 hours or something like that without commercials. I'm like, I forget how long it took. Like, it was multiple weeks that fight went on.
Yeah. I know. Because I actually came back to try keeping up with it. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. I mean, a great example, it's kind of not on par, it was much shorter, but like Superman, or I'm sorry, Man of Steel. That fight at the end that goes on, I think, for an hour in the movie. Oh. I'm like, end this. End this already. I didn't even care he broke his neck. I was like, oh, thank God we're done fighting. Holy God, it was just sensory overload. Or a Transformers movie. I can't remember which one it was. Oh. Third one? Where they had guys in like those wingsuits flying through Chicago for no fucking reason. I'm like, oh my God, this movie's going on forever. Which, I didn't like those movies anyway, so it's kind of unfair. But like the super secure Chicago that the Autobots just go, oh, don't, and walk right in. Because, you know, you can sneak into it. Indefensible garbage. So.
Yeah, I have not seen one of those Transformers movies. No, I don't want to.
Tell you what, man, Bumblebee was fun, at least. Because it was vibrant. It had colors. The characters looked like the toys, like they should have in the other movie. Oh. These homogenized slates of gray and silver that you couldn't tell who was who. Autobots, which I understand, were able to do other shapes later, but they weren't all cars. You're like, what is this?
No. So. Did they have dinosaur Transformers?
Yeah, they did. They did put the Dinobots finally.
Oh, the Dinobots!
I always loved the Dinobots. I mean, how cool was that?
Dinosaurs? Obviously, I remember them enough that I made that joke. Because that's one of those childhood things that, you know, for all the other geeky fandom stuff I think I'd go to a G.I. Joe thing before I went to Transformers thing now. Like, I just feel like everything, like, post that first Transformers cartoon movie is Transformers trash, and it's just like, I feel like the legacy of Transformers is too tarnished in general.
Transformers the movie ruined Transformers. Because all it was, in like as a kid, you saw right through. They kill again. All right, this started a long time ago. They killed off all your favorites because they wanted to sell more toys. That's the only reason they made that movie.
Oh,
the movie starts and they just start killing Autobots. They're like, this never happened in the cartoon. And then
in the comic,
Prime dies for Rodimus Prime, or Hot Rod becomes Rodimus Prime. Like, what? I don't want that. A semi truck. Boy, did they correct that quick.
Yeah, I guess I don't really remember the aftermath of that too well.
Well, it didn't do so well that they changed G.I. Joe the movie. So G.I. Joe, which is right on my wheelhouse here. So G.I. Joe the movie was supposed to come out after Transformers. And they were going to replace a bunch of the stars. So Duke was going to die. And when it didn't work, they decided, all right, the hell with this. We're cutting this into pieces. And we're going to make it a miniseries within the cartoon series. And that's where, like, Cobra Commander's outed as a snake, which was stupid. And then Cobra Law, which I can't do. It's hilarious if you want to look it up. And instead of a terrorist organization, they're like this deep cult organization of snakes. And, like, oh, my God. They introduced Falcon, just like they introduced Rod or Hot Rod. And he was the cousin of Duke. And Duke ends up dying, and Lieutenant Falcon's going to take over for Duke. So you can sell a whole bunch of new toys up with Falcon.
No.
Well, Don Johnson voiced Lieutenant Falcon. He wasn't sticking around for the TV show.
Oh.
And then when Optimus Prime died and the backlash of it, they were like, uh-oh. Duke gets impaled in the chest.
And oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yes. At the end of the show, which was the end of the movie, they win, of course. Cobra Commander, like, turns into a snake and goes away so that you can have Serpentor instead.
Oh.
And, I don't know, did Serpentor die? I can't remember. Anyways. Then all of a sudden goes, hey, everyone, Duke's going to make it. G.I. Joe! Like, you're like, what? He just got stabbed in the chest. So they hurried up and added that at the end so that Duke didn't die.
Oh my gosh. Because wasn't the series. I mean, you're talking about Serpentor. Is that the series they did with Sergeant Slaughter in it?
That was G.I. Joe, the second movie, if you will. That was Sergeant Slaughter and the Marauders going against, like, Serpentor and, like, Cobra La 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 La. Which I actually say it a lot louder than that. And then Cobra Commander, I believe, comes back. It's been a long time since I've seen him. But
okay. So that was you're going first movie. I'm not sure I really remember the first movie then for G.I. Joe. I definitely remember the Sergeant Slaughter miniseries thing going on.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be technically the first movie is G.I. Joe. Remember when that was the big deal? It was like over two nights. That was like, and they introduced the TV show so they could sell toys and comics and all that.
Oh.
That's technically the first G.I. Joe movie. And then they had a few episodes, and they had the second season would be another like 2-hour movie. And then you have more episodes. And then they were just like, oh, we're just putting more episodes out. Like, oh, we don't need to do this. We can just introduce characters as you go, like every season. So.
Yeah.
I have so much useless thoughts in this crap.
Well, that's a much better model. Rather than killing people off, just add fresh people.
That's what the comics did. The comics, they actually couldn't kill anybody. Hasbro wouldn't allow them to in case they wanted to sell toys. And it wasn't until the comic series wasn't as popular that, and it was jarring, that all of a sudden, like, 11 G.I. Joes just died. And it was like, what? Like, Doc gets shot in the head. Like, murdered. Just point murdered. The whole Space Force dies. And
Roadblock die?
No. There was a whole thing where they made, and it's very rare to find, I guess, because it was gigantic. They made a Space Force with a gigantic space shuttle. Launch pad, all that stuff. And I mean a big space shuttle.
Huh.
So all those guys died on re-entry or something. But, like, there was a misunderstanding. Cobra Commander told Tomax and Zaymot to take him out. He goes, get rid of him. And what he meant was, seriously, just take care of him. No, it was take care of him.
Oh.
He meant take care of him. And instead, this one, was it Saw Viper, I think? He just mowed him down. They were, like, taking prisoner. He just shot them all. And you're reading this going, in the 15 years this comic's been around, no one's died, and all of a sudden all of them die like that. It was so strange. And then, of course, he gets killed. Because, you know, but... So there's your history lessons that no one cares about. So
always comes back to the violence.
Well, I was talking about that a lot today. So
yeah,
well, speaking of violence, there was some severe cuts today for WWE. We can do this one first.
Sure. You know, I mean, there are any number of fine wrestling topics to get to roughly a half an hour into the show.
Yeah, well. No, man. I mean, I know, like, NXT UK wasn't popular, and I saw that NXT Europe. I was like, that's a really good idea. Because, you know, they've kind of hamstrung themselves by calling it NXT UK when your champion is Japanese. So... Like, the women's champion is Japanese, excuse me. Your tag team champions are from the States now. And I know, like, you didn't watch it much, but that was a big deal. It was actually, like, almost, it was a dishonor for somebody outside of the UK to hold titles.
Gotcha.
Because, what was it? Cassius Ohno was going after titles, was going after the main title, and it was like, he can't win. If he does, I mean, this is terrible for NXT UK. What's going to happen? All right, I kind of like that. I kind of like that aspect of it, you know.
Yeah.
Give it a little more meaning. And then when Brooks and Jensen won the NXT UK titles and no one cared, I'm like, okay, I guess that's over with. But no, I think the Europe thing's a good idea. Triple H is right; it will give them exposure. You can go to other countries, hopefully.
yeah. I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer. Like you said, like UK seems too limiting. Even when they started, I feel like they had people from, like, Portugal and Spain, and it's just like, yeah, why not kind of move it, you know, give them a little mini territory to run in Europe on their own?
Well, I mean, and they essentially, I was just thinking of this, their champions were Tyler Bay, Pete Dunne, Walter from Germany, Ilya Dragunov.
Yep.
And now Tyler Bate, which is hilarious because that tournament wasn't over. They just spoiled their own tournament by showing Tyler Bate with the UK title on Tuesday.
Oh. That's a riot.
Like, that's. But I guess now it doesn't matter. They're like, well, it's over anyways. Don't worry about it. So.
Yeah, that.
But no, it's.
Tyler Bate standing next to Bron Breakker, I'm like. Dude, I knew you were short, but Bron Breakker ain't tall, and I feel like he looks a foot taller than you.
Yeah. But I don't mind it because we all know what Tyler Bate can do.
Oh, yeah.
So now it's up to the announcers, the booking, or the writing, to make sure this is level. Because really, like, I never thought for one second JD McDonagh was going to beat Bron Breakker, right?
Oh. Right.
But in that match was really, actually that whole show was pretty good. On Tuesday?
Heatwave was pretty good in general. It was kind of funny though that I was kind of with when Chris and I were recording on there before we recorded on Tuesday. I was far more interested in the not title match being Santos versus Tony D'Angelo than I was for either of the title matches.
I would say that obviously D'Angelo and Escobar was first for me. The women's match was second because of the intrigue. And then third, yeah, I guess. I mean, Carmelo I knew wasn't going to lose, so that was fine.
Oh. yeah, I mean, Carmelo Hayes shouldn't have lost. I don't really have any problem. It's just that I guess there was some intrigue in the women's match.
Absolutely. Because Zoe Stark, I mean, that whole story... was set up for Zoe Stark to come back, and we'll get back to NXT UK in a second. That whole story was set up for Zoe Stark to win. I mean, the baby face comes back after 9 months, vanquishes the person who put her out. And instead, she gets beat with her own knee brace, which I'm not sure that's not a disqualification, but she still won the title. Won the title then, so who cares?
Yeah, that's how I was just like, I saw that happen, I'm like, wow, she's in a really weird spot right now. You know, yeah. Like, I'm like, what does she do now? Like you said, like, that's kind of the hero's welcome. Like, you're coming back. It's, you know, yeah, she put you out. Like, it's tailor-made for you winning, and you don't. I was just like, I was scratching my head when I saw that match.
Funnily. Yeah. But the second they announced her and Nikita Lyons in the women's tag match, I was like, that's weird.
I guess
that means Zoe Stark is going up?
To me, that is the strange thing. Like, I guess you could think that it seems too early for her to go up. Like, obviously, they have a lot of faith in her. Or else she...
Oh, yeah, from the get-go, they have.
They've had a lot of faith in her. And I'm like, I guess I just haven't seen enough one way or the other to know. Like, she didn't mesh well. The whole EO and her thing did not go well at all. She's been at least okay with the promos that she's had coming back with this new Mandy Rose feud here. But yeah, like, she doesn't really have a whole much of a resume in ring, at least that we've seen.
I remember, didn't she debut and then beat Toni Storm, right?
Yes.
She lost to her and then beat her the second time or something. So, I mean, not that Toni Storm's NXT run, or actually, not that, yeah, any of her American run was any good, but, yeah, so they've had something for Zoe Stark ever since. Nikita Lyons, I understand why they're going to put her on the main roster. And, I mean, she doesn't look like anybody else on that roster. So,
oh, yes.
You know, get some new eyes on it and whatever else. But,
she definitely stands out.
Yes, she will too. I mean, no doubt. I'd be curious to see her like next to Tamina just to see the size difference because Tamina is a big person.
Yeah, oh.
Like, tall and broad.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious to see the size there. But like, as soon as Gallus showed up and attacked the Creeds, I was like, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, Blair Davenport showed up, who I was like, why is she being wasted in the UK anyways? And I say wasted because not a lot of people watch it.
Oh.
And that's why I think I texted you, like, if Tyler Bates shows up, NXT UK's dead. And I knew something's going to happen at the end. I just wasn't sure. But, I mean, they already canceled 2 weeks of tapings. The next two tapings for UK. Then, you know, there were all those rumors were like, what's going on? And they said, no, don't worry. We've got a plan, this and that. And their plan is, well, we're going to have a NXT Europe. But, yeah, a bunch of you aren't going to have jobs right now. Which apparently this may be a layoff until it gets going.
I mean, I definitely saw a handful of the tweets, and no one sounded bitter about the situation. So yeah, it might just be a matter of time, because they do. I think I was arguing for the most part that, hey, if you want to do the fresh faces kind of thing, they still need some veteran faces in there to challenge and learn from. The NXT UK crew definitely has more experience than I would say roughly 75% of the roster now in NXT.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. So, yeah, the people they brought over were the stars. And with the whole Tyler Bate Trent 7 feud, you couldn't bring them over as pals. But I expected Trent 7 to come over as well. Because he's, and I know everyone's like, well, look at him. Yeah, but that's kind of an appeal. In a world full of bodies, you know, everyone gets in better shape once they get into NXT. Can't name one person that got worse.
Well, Adam Cole's sort of on the list.
That's true. But at least he had injuries he never dealt with. I guess that's why. That's what's being said.
Oh.
So, all right, we'll give you Adam Cole, which is crazy because he's a top guy like that.
Yeah. But well, and he's Trent never Seven been much of a body goes. Guy, honestly.
No, but he was more muscular.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some of the Ring of Honor stuff, but no. So, and like they do NXT UK, those guys get in better shape, most of them. Like, was it Wild Boar or was it Warthog? Who is the other guy? Primal? No, they were Primal something. Anyways.
Yeah, you watched it, so it's 100% on you to figure it out.
Yeah, NXT, and you know, the other guys come in, or Trent 7 comes in and goes, I don't need to work at all. I'm just going to keep doing the exact same thing I'm doing. And he did. He looks like that from the beginning to now.
No.
How do you get away with that? Like he doesn't like I'm gonna say it like this but it sounds really mean to say it. He doesn't look like a star. He just looks like some dude that goes into a wrestling match and is really good at it. Like, how do you get away with that? And he's great.
It's all in the mustache. Power of the mustache.
It's all appearance and charisma.
Yeah.
Because, boy, he had that up the ass. So, or still does. He's not dead. But apparently he's been moved to the alumni section. So he's gone. The stars are all, now all the big stars, as far as I can tell, Ginny's not there, but I think she's going to be on SmackDown anyways. She's married to Gunther.
Oh, right.
There were some other people, and of course my browser closed. Cool. So all the stuff I had pulled up so I could actually be, like, you know, knowledgeable right off the bat is no longer here. That's good. So anyways, another one that surprised me was Zaya Brooks. She was Robbie Brookside's daughter.
Oh.
And she actually started coming into her own when she turned heel. Go figure. So, and she's young too. But I wonder if most of these people are just going to come back for the Europe because they have a healthy roster still, but not huge. So,
yeah. Oh,
I guess not knowing their plan right now, it's kind of like, all right. But yeah. So I mean, big shakeup though. And now was it Shawn Michaels on the same day who was running NXT UK as well as NXT? He's announced as the vice president of creative. So he's underneath Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of seems like a logical spot for him. Just because, like you said, he has been doing NXT anyway, pretty much in Triple H's absence.
Yeah, I mean, he took over. They're like, this is what we want to do. And then apparently Vince was like, this is what you have to do. And then left it alone.
Uh-oh. So
like Shawn Michaels had that interview saying, this is, if you don't like it, it's all on me. And I'm like, I appreciate the sentiment as a leader or something, but you know someone was interfering with stuff.
Yeah, like, I think at least at that time period, he was playing within the lines. And that's a very diplomatic way to say that I was playing with handcuffs on. But I mean, So good for him, you know. If that's the way that
yeah.
you want to view it and everything, yeah, that's fine. Like, 'cause yeah, Vince had to have been meddling in that just from the way the content was run.
But he doesn't even meddle directly because he's got Bruce, well, had Bruce Pritchard
Well, right.
and the other guy to, like, you know, meddle and be like, hey, make sure they're doing this. And so,
Yeah,
but no,
he had
I realized
secondary
watching,
bodies doing that.
yeah, but I realized watching NXT last night, the show's gotten better because of the people that are on it are getting better. And
Oh.
also because it's getting more familiar. I think that it was just so jarring. And I think we've talked about this before, just how jarring it was when you got Kyle O'Reilly teaming with Von Wagner. Like, what is this? Kyle O'Reilly was just going for the title. And then who's this Lash Legend doing a talk show thing, which they totally gotten away from? And by the way, where were her and Pretty Deadly this week? That kind of pissed me off. That's a great combo.
They still kind of have to take weeks off here and there, some of the sub characters. And it was, I mean, they haven't been as crazy as AEW with the naming of their weekly shows. So Heat Wave was kind of, you know, an actually special show for the most part.
Now,
AEW
I don't
has
remember.
named what, like six out of their last eight events that have taken place on Wednesday nights.
Yeah. Well, all right, and I'm going to get killed for this, but Heatwave was a WCW pay-per-view, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. I just couldn't remember. I couldn't remember for sure. So, all right, that
Yeah,
makes sense then,
I
but
remember that one.
yeah, but no. So watching it last night, I'm actually sitting there like, I'm actually enjoying this show. Like, how did this happen? You know, for the amount of bitching I used to do when this thing started, you know. But
Well, like you
like.
said, I still think, and it's something that I've said in the other podcast, that it's something that the WWE as a whole needed to do. Like, if you're gonna have a, it's great to have a super indie like Triple H was running, but at some point you do kind of need to turn your eyes to actual development so that people can come up, or at least more of it.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing to me is, it's he's already going. All right, I'm going back. Well, at least on SmackDown that, and I guess Raw, he's bringing back people that got cut that were his people, and then
Oh.
I guess it's already out there that he's going and he's going to sign whoever he wants, whether it's, you know, someone to create or somebody in the Indies to go. Oh yeah, no, I'm going to take you and help build like a weird mod super indie, you know? Which I don't think is a bad idea, especially if you hire, like, I know it sounds kind of dumb, but like older indie guys who are like, I need the steady paycheck, or I can help out, and I know, give them this Kevin Owens speech. You're probably never going to go to the main roster. You're probably never going to become anything, but I'm giving you this chance to come in. And if those guys can impart their knowledge on the guys and girls there, then all the better. So I
No.
guess we'll see. We'll see with that.
Yeah, it's really something right now. Like, just the WWE has not been this interesting in a really, really long time.
Yeah, and it just needs to start translating to their TV product. And it's been slow. You can see changes. You can see where they're going with stuff. But I'm watching AAA right now, and there was a ref bump where the guy pushed the ref, but he barely touched him, so the ref just jumped in the air onto the ropes and crashed to the ground. Totally, totally lucha. Like, just ridiculous. But no, like, it needs, you can start seeing the different stuff they're doing. Like, Kevin going back to the prize fighter. And I know they're going to make a big deal out of him saying wrestler, but, like, that, those two going, like, Kevin and Drew going at it in the ring like that was like, oh my god. Like, that stuff didn't seem scripted. And you notice, like, no one's flubbing their lines anymore or sounding like robots unless they're just a bad promo.
Yeah, everything seems more loose. I have been less annoyed with Corey Graves as an example, although he still yells too much and browbeats his colleagues entirely too much.
Well, the one thing, I think he told Saxon to shut up or something. Although, Saxon did say something pretty stupid. And Corey goes, why are you even here? And I'm like, that's fair. Because that was a dumb, I wish I could remember what he said. But it was pretty damn stupid. So, we've also seen, like, Byron Saxon can be good. But he's not under, like, at that time Corey wasn't there.
Uh-oh. Yeah, he does better when Corey Graves is not around.
Yeah.
But they, so it's like, even under Triple H, they've kept them together for some reason or another.
Well, I that's what I'm starting to wonder. Some of these things are going to start changing. I'm still on that we're not going to see drastic change until WrestleMania. But we'll see. We'll see after this Clash the Castle how it goes, but I need to turn this off. I don't even like lucha wrestling because it's garbage. Sorry, it's just not. It's the same over scripted stuff. Like the girl's, like her shoulders or his shoulders weren't even down. It was clear as day, and the referee was counting three. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. But anyways, but there was something. What else? Like Triple H is making his obvious stamp on the show. But then also, like, kind of slowly plying away things. Like, they sent the get well card in from Ezekiel. I figured that gimmick was dead. I was like, oh, they put that character off the pasture. No, they added more characters to the universe he's building for himself. Elrod was in there. His uncle was Uncle Jimmy.
I think so.
Dad.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, if this is, like, I don't know if Vince was headed in this direction with this gimmick, but I was just like, oh, okay, if they're gonna go this route with this gag, then let's go. Like, I'm in now, guys. Like, it started to get funny when he added Elrod to the whole thing, and even Kevin Owens was referencing it. And I'm just like, yeah.
I thought Kevin Owens created Elrod.
But it's,
I thought, like, he was so mad he just made up a name.
But it stuck, though.
It's still funny, but okay, all right.
So, yeah, even if Kevin Owens made it up, it's ended up sticking in Ezekiel lore, I guess, if we want to call it that at this point.
That's okay, and I've advocated for this in the past. Give this gimmick to Joseph and Jeremy Borash and be done with it. Just go, you three figure everything out. We need to bring someone else in. Bring him in. give me the Abyss stuff with Jeremy Borash's flair. Because Jeremy Borash apparently was the one that was responsible for Carlos Escobar and Tony D. All that whole thing. That's all his thing. Like going out looking to shoot. How he did this. It was all him. And I'm like, okay. Because we forget, he was also one of the guys that did the Hardy stuff. So,
yes, he does seem to be very good at his job.
Yes, which is weird because he was always the creepy announcer guy.
Yeah, like, he doesn't need to be the creepy announcer guy. He can just stay very good to excellent creative guy. You know,
man, how he went from TNA announcer to backstage guy TNA to now, like, he was one of Triple H's right hand man, and now one of Shawn Michaels guys. It's crazy. Like, good for you, bud.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work too.
Yeah, but that would be hilarious. And then someone I know that I saw on Twitter with the Ezekiel stuff. Someone's like, they had like the screen grab of him at the hospital, and they're like, this looks like a pop punk album cover circa 2000.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm just like, oh my god, yes, I could definitely see that happening.
Did you see, I don't know if this was real or not, but apparently it was all Photoshopped, obviously. And I think it was Ezekiel, they forgot to put his eyes in it. So he was just kind of like a blank, like a dead, just like dead.
Oh.
The eyes were just like flesh color. So someone actually went in and put eyeballs on, made it even creepier. And I was like, that's a pretty big oversight. But also, it's like in this day and age, you have to be prepared for people to do a screen grab. So you can't just go, no one will notice.
No. Yes, someone is definitely gonna notice.
Yeah, just like I was wondering why the camera kept going blank, but apparently Mandy Rose's nipple popped out.
Oh yeah, I was kind of wondering. I'm like, is there something wrong with my feed here? And then I saw today that, you know, one of the headlines that was honestly not terribly timely. They're like, oh, wardrobe malfunction for Mandy Rose. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that solves that question.
Yeah. Her terrible dirty titty popped out. Oh, my God. How awful. Like, it's an accident. She was even wearing an outfit that shouldn't have happened. It's like... I mean, I know they don't want nudity, whatever, but it just seems so silly. Like, I'm sure someone's got a screen grab of it anyways. So it doesn't matter. I mean, anyways, whatever. But yeah, so we'll see how this keeps playing out. I mean, NXT's already changing because of, you know, the NXT people coming in. And then it turns out that they're having a pay-per-view, Worlds Collide. And it's NXT UK versus NXT again, which is cool. But that's actually on the same day as All Out.
Oh.
So it's at 4 p.m. Yeah, it's 4 p.m. And then All Out's at 7. And then the next day is Clash of the Castle.
Jesus.
So that's pretty cool. I don't know if I'm gonna get All Out or not, but they're doing a fairly good job building the intrigue for that. That's for sure.
Well, they've also definitely taken one large match off of that card already. Possibly or not due to the actions of CM Punk.
Yeah, I don't know if this was the plan all along. I mean, why would it be? Like, Punk comes back. That's a money-making match. You know what I mean? Like, people would buy a pay-per-view for that. So what are you doing?
Yeah, that... Well, and plus, isn't, what, All Out's only 4 weeks away or something like that?
Three, I believe.
Three? Yeah, it's... I mean, I don't... In a lot of ways, I don't mind it because it is kind of silly that, you know, a lot of times we have a pull-apart brawl or whatever, and they're like, oh, well, we'll settle it in, you know, 3 weeks, and it's just like, huh? Like, they were just having a pull-apart brawl. Why isn't this happening sooner?
Yeah, I actually kind of dug how they did that.
Oh.
They fought, and then... Moxley comes out and later does it again, and they're like, "Done the hell with it." So, yeah, it was interesting. And then they go, "Yep, next week." I'm like, "Next week." So I don't know if they've got something big planned or if this is a cop out because there's all this other drop moving on now with CM Punk, apparently. Which I guess that Hangman stuff is a shoot. He was not supposed to do that. That's for real.
Oh, you know what? I meant to go back and listen to that after reading that there was some beef between Hangman and CM Punk, and I completely forgot to before erasing this week's Dynamite, honestly.
Yeah, it was, of course, and I was trying to explain this to Elise, that we are never going to get the truth about anything because of the nature of wrestling anyways. Even if a wrestler comes out and gives their side, like gives the tale of what happened, it's always their side.
Oh.
And then someone else come out. So it's always like somewhere the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but we'll never have the exact, you know, we'll never have the truth of the middle. So, like, I read something about, it was something about, has to do with Colt Cabana. Or Adam Page didn't like something, so they bitched at each other, and like all this stuff, and it's like, okay. It just seems weird that Punk would be that unprofessional to go into bid for himself, either knowing Adam Page wasn't there, or if he was, knowing that he can't come out. He's not going to come out. Either was probably even watching or had already been done for the night or something like that. Like, it's weird to do that when you're trying to promote a match that, well, now seemingly is next week. You know?
Yeah, because I'm not sure that they haven't done Moxley versus CM Punk yet, have they? I don't think they have.
No, that's the first. I think the first. I was trying to figure out if they faced off in WWE. And I don't think they ever did. So, would this be the first next week?
Which yeah. Which
even furthers the whole money match.
Yeah, like, it's a weird one to bump. Like, obviously there's some other feuds that can be gone into. But yeah, this one really is a bit of a head scratcher as to why you do it in Cleveland if there isn't at least something in the partial truth in all the rumors swirling. I could spit that out.
I mean, isn't the easiest thing, and like it's fantasy booking, MJF has been quiet. Tony Khan's been totally quiet about him. All of a sudden, the Pinnacle is back together, which I thought was weird.
Oh.
Because wasn't FTR aligning themselves with CM Punk? And now they're watching Wardlow's back. Like, okay. And then the title can change hands on a disqualification in AEW. So it's a distinct possibility MJF can interfere and cost someone the match without ever getting pinned. Which would soothe the egos, you know? So no one has a job for anybody else.
Yeah.
And look, the whole Hangman Punk thing doesn't make any sense anyways. Because even that promo about Hangman talking about Punk, like, I'm here to save AEW from you, still hasn't been explained.
Oh, it was a bizarre angle to take at the time, and it seems like it is equally bizarre now. You know? Like, I guess I didn't think, because, like, that build-up went from, I am feeling nothing about it, to, like, 250 miles an hour, it felt like. And it's just
why do Punk and Bobby hate each other, by the way? Because wasn't Punk the guy that came out and said, I'm damn proud of John Moxley and blah, 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 this and this? And then, like, this kid, when he's back, he hates him, he's running him down? Like, what? And I know one's real life, but in the world of AEW, like, there's not a whole lot of fake stuff. I mean, there is, but whatever. it just seems so out of the blue. So
yeah. Yeah, it's been really random what's gone on. Like you said, like as much as I enjoy those segments, just like what's happening here?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like it was pure chaos, and they went for a while, and then they came back, and it's just like a series of events. Like, huh? Okay. But they've got to have something else planned, and I don't know. It's a bizarre. It's like it's weird as WWE's been with the changes and all this. AEW's been even weirder. And it's like there were even rumors that Punk may not have considering, or they were worried he wasn't even going to show up last night.
Yeah, that is at least part of the rumor mill.
What happened? How did something happen that literally no one picked up? Everything leaks in wrestling outside of the Brody Lee stuff. Which was the shocker of shocks. Everything leaks. You can't not have a surprise. You can't be surprised anymore. Unless you stay off the internet, don't read dirt sheets, blah, blah, all that stuff, right?
Yep. Don't have a smartphone.
So it just seems like this is some bizarro thing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it doesn't... I guess to me, one of the reasons it feels real is just because this stuff seemed to randomly happen. Like, just all of it. Like, you know, the Adam Page CM Punk feud, like, turning up. Like, I guess I didn't remember hearing that there was a beef when they were having that feud, you know, when that was actually happening. So, like, to know now that there might have been some beef then, I'm like, oh, maybe this kind of, you know, explains what was going on there. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, it's hard to know since everything is essentially with this CM Punk stuff, basically like, the old game of telephone where someone told someone sold someone. You know, it's hard to say. Like you said, like we haven't even gotten someone's side of the story at this point.
We haven't gotten anyone's side of the story.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, it's just all like, oh, this is what happened. Well, I heard this is what happened. Like, okay. And in wrestling, I mean, nothing's ever true. Like, there's still people who still believe like the whole Montreal screw job was a work, which is just crazy, I guess. But then it's the greatest work ever. But I was telling Elisa when we were eating dinner, and we don't usually talk wrestling with her, because, you know, she's like, whatever. But isn't it strange how quickly things have like kind of changed? So, a few weeks ago, everyone goes to AEW and is happy to be away from WWE, and everything's great, right? People in WWE like, get away because they're like, ugh, Vince doesn't know what he's doing. Or, I'm in a contract, I can't wait to leave. I'm not being used on this, right?
Yeah.
And then, Vince is gone. Triple H is back in charge, or is in charge. Stephanie's the CEO. Right.
Yep, or at least co-CEO.
Yeah. And then there's reports all of a sudden that Tony Khan is having erratic behavior and people are upset. Like, Jonathan Gresham's a great example. He couldn't get a hold of Tony Khan to discuss anything, so he's pissed off, and now he's at AEW. But, like, all these things are happening. And now there are wrestlers that are in AEW, like, seriously considering going back to WWE, or maybe people that weren't are now considering it. Like, Cody was an anomaly. He went when there was Vince, when Vince was there. Oh. But now there are people that will legitimately look and be like, oh, Triple H is in charge, I'm going to give this a try. And, like, the morale backstage at WWE events is supposedly much higher now. And it... Like, in a few weeks, all this changed. Like, that basically.
I'm not surprised. Like, it's been quite a while that we've bitched about Vince on this podcast in one form or another. You know what I mean? Like, and it's been really bad recently. You know, and it's been a while at this point. I don't think anyone really had a great pandemic. Is a whole.
No.
Like, any wrestling organization. Like, as much as AEW is a nice alternative to the WWE, I feel like especially you and I have documented our misgivings about their product. No one's really knocked it out of the park during this time. And, Tony Khan's kind of like Vince in the fact that he seems like a little bit of a control freak, and, you know, you kind of need help at some juncture. Like, I don't know if there's anyone helping him write storylines or anything at this point, or if he's still just supposedly pretty much one-manning this whole operation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did do that, like, restructuring so that, you know, there's the head of talent relations now. Like, Tony Schiavone is part of talent relations, I think. He's delved out control, to have help and all this stuff. So he is doing some things. I mean, he did acknowledge, like, all right, I'm spread too thin, because he has Ring of Honor. Which, when's the next Ring of Honor event? I don't know. It's like, okay, well, what's going on? So he has so much on his plate where Vince, I mean, to, I don't want to say to his credit, he had two shows to run, which he kind of ran independently of themselves, you know? There was crossover. He had Triple H, he delegated NXT to Triple H. Triple H delegated UK to Shawn Michaels. So it was a delegation so that, you know, things got worked around.
Oh, where, yeah.
Tony Khan has Rampage, Dynamite, Dark, and Ring of Honor. All his.
And what? Does he work on Elevation also?
I don't even know if Dark Elevation's around. To be completely honest, I don't know.
Pretty sure if I see results for it, so.
You can make that. Well, Dark is definitely there. But I don't know about Dark Elevation. So, I don't know. So, I don't really watch Dark too much.
I don't, but I mean, to me, it's just adding to the pile of shows that he's trying to run. Like, even if he's not putting that much time and effort into it, knowing that it's probably the least watched thing, you still got to spend time doing it, and to try and one-man that is just a fool's errand. You know, like, when you start doing things on a large scale, you need person power.
Yeah. And I know, like, in AEW that, you know, the wrestlers have input into their angles and promos aren't scripted, all this stuff, but the booking doesn't make any sense, and even wrestlers in the company are starting to call it out, you know? Like, we talked about Miro calling out last week, like, Mance Warner getting a title shot for no reason.
Oh.
Like, okay. Like, they introduced this Mid-Atlantic? No. What the hell was it called? Was it Mid-Atlantic?
No, just the...
Atlantic title?
Just the Atlantic title.
Yeah. And Pac only defends it overseas and other events, which I don't actually mind. I think it's a cool idea.
Oh.
But then we have a Trios title. Well, why are we doing this? Like, a Trios title where they don't have all Trios teams in there as well. So it just... There's so many weird things with AEW that people are actually finally starting to call, like pick up on this stuff and call it out. Like, hey, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't work. And all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, that will hurt him with... you had such a punching bag with Vince for, and again, multiple years, just even within our own podcast. And you don't have a punching bag anymore. Like, Triple H has been booking Jesus for kind of a while now. And now, not only does he have control of NXT, he has the whole main roster to handle, too.
He has the whole company now.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you really think about his rise, decline, and then ascension, he comes up with the Performance Center, goes to Vince. Vince goes, here's money. He builds it. Then he's like, hey, we'll do NXT, and then we'll put it on the network. They want something to go against AEW. Hey, we'll put it on national TV, which really messed up his booking. Because the way he wrote shows and paced everything was absolutely different from when it was on the network to when it was on USA. And, because he had to compete. He had to do everything every week. They used to build up stuff over months. You know?
Yeah.
So, and then Kevin Nash, I thought was, you know, of course he's always going to stick up for Triple H, but he mentioned, like, you know, Triple H has his heart issue, has his heart thing, and then all of a sudden, he's gone, and they couldn't wait to tear it down. I mean, as soon as he was gone, they were like, oh, God, right, no, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do this, and all these people get released and all this stuff. Well... As soon as Triple H is in charge, he's like, oh, yeah, come on back, Hit Row. Oh, are you? Oh, you're all right. Not you, because you're under contract somewhere else. Oh, you come back. You come back immediately. Just doing all this stuff to where it's almost like Triple H is like, all right, I'm doing a slow fuck you. So you want me to change NXT? Well, I'm going to change it back the way I want to be changed. But he's smart enough to realize, oh, I'll do other stuff. So.
No.
Yeah, it's, but I mean, he went from everyone loves NXT to almost dying, literally, to where he doesn't even have a creative job anymore. He's, wasn't he part of like their NIL thing or something?
Yeah, NIL. They gave him some, but really behind the scenes job. I don't really remember what it was.
Yeah, and then he comes back in limited role. And boom, he's the head of talent relations and the head of creative. That's crazy to me. What a weird roller coaster.
Yeah, and I mean, it is. I guess I'm not surprised that AEW people would have less misgivings about coming to the WWE, like. Even honestly, even given the NXT UK cuts, like, you know, they have definitely at least tried to offset their let goes with hires this time around. Well, and they desperately needed some help on TV anyway. Like,
yeah.
Because I still think the NXT in general itself kind of needed some more depth, and the main roster just had gotten too thin. Like, they were a gaunt gentleman that was sorely in need of some rations.
Gaunt.
So yeah, it's a wild wrestling world right now. Like, I am having a hard time. Like, this is one of those time periods where I'm like, oh, man, I'm glad we're doing this, I suppose. Because I haven't been this excited about wrestling in quite a while. Is a general
rule. Yeah. But the bad thing is, like, some of that excitement isn't for the TV product, though. We didn't talk too much, like, in-ring stuff. Like, NXT, I enjoyed the show, right? Raw was fine. I think they're missing the mark with Raw because they're still doing a transition. The matches are too long, and it's not the same people doing the same match, but it's still the same people. So they need, like, Triple H needs it's kind of like what NXT did. There was always backstage segments. There was always, like, these video packages. Or vignettes, I should say.
Oh.
Like, look at Tony D and Santos, you know?
Yeah.
Going back to Velveteen Dream having a meeting with East 3 at a pool.
Oh.
There's none of that stuff on Raw or SmackDown. And there needs to be. To give these people some care, give these new people, like, give them something else to do other than wrestle, you know? Because you got other people. And it also, it keeps them on TV without wrestling, which is what everyone wants, so you don't get beat up.
Yeah, and isn't it just good for your product, and it helps people, you know? Yeah, it helps people know that character. Like, it helps you get invested. To have those backstage segments like that.
Yeah. And I know he, like, came back this week, right? But even, like, Austin Theory, give us something more behind him. Other than he's the chosen one. Do some vignettes of him working out to be perfect. Or, you know... All my vignettes for him just went to, like, Mr. Perfect territory. But... Just
sure.
Something along
it
those
works.
Lines. Give Bobby Lashley, who, you know, to be honest, we don't know much about him other than he's a badass, which works. But if he wants to make the United States title so prominent, right? Why? Well, then delve into his military background. Delve into how he went around when he was fighting Bellator, went around the world to see the esteem the United States has held in. Whatever, something like that, right?
Yeah, right.
So that a championship of this country deserves a champion that follows the esteem of the United States. Something like that, right? True or not, who gives a shit? It's wrestling. and then, like, I don't know, like, there's just plenty of other stuff that you can do instead of having them wrestle 30-minute matches. We all enjoy those.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was not arguing. I liked for the most part. Just the other than the wet fart that ended that show.
That was weird. What a weird way to end the show.
Yeah, it was a strange one. Like. As much as I don't really have a beef with Theory for the most part, like, I still don't think he's, like, yeah, they still haven't done a whole lot for him. Like, he's still kind of stuck a little bit, so he needs a little bit something more. So, but I'm also glad that he still has the Money in the Bank briefcase, like, I do think that that's a good crutch for anyone trying to attain star status in the heeldom department. The not cashing it in will kind of hurt him in the near future here. I'm thinking, though, that in the not too distant future, it will be a benefit to him.
Yeah, and it's like the intrigue, you know, especially with him being new, or not, I'm sorry, with him being, like, underdeveloped. I will say Ezekiel has gotten some good development because, I mean, now he's got a family and shit. Like, okay,
oh.
Yes. That simple picture is kind of what I'm going for. Just give us small stuff like that.
That's all. It doesn't have to be like a 15-minute, you know, exercise.
Oh.
Well, here's what these people do. You know?
Yeah, but it doesn't need to be long. It does not need to be a Santos versus Tony D segment.
Yeah. Yes, unless they're that good, because they were.
Oh.
Yeah, so... But yeah, so there was another point I was going to make on top of all this, but I kind of lost it, but... It's, I don't mind long matches, I like, you know, but it always seemed like it was development, then pay off with a match. And I knew, and that's what I was going to get at with, like, so, like, Drew and Kevin Owens, when they were fighting, I'm like, this can't possibly end in a victory for either one.
Oh.
Just, you know, slimy or not. Well, so I actually was like, would they actually surprise us by having Roman Reigns show up? And then the Usos did. I was like, okay. And then knowing that, you know, Roman's not around all the time. He's just not.
Oh.
It made me think, is it possible Drew's going to beat him?
You know, it was really... I have found it kind of interesting that they introduce Karrion Kross. And to me, I'm like, oh, well, he's not coming out if they're not slamming him in at the castle position, right? And then he kind of, for the most part, lays low this week. I suppose he could pop back up on SmackDown and just be SmackDown exclusive. But considering that McIntyre was on Raw for... at least two segments? Because, yeah, he had the promo in the match. And, he was on for a while there. Kross doesn't show up at all. Like, I still think it's a weird spot for Kross to be in, just in general. I mean, it could be worse than to be in a main event spot beside Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns. But
his main position is like number two heel, I guess. Just fine, considering he was nothing.
You
know?
Yeah.
Like, even that, like, he didn't really say... Like, he talked, right, on SmackDown? His promo was on SmackDown. But then he never appeared on in the arena. It was just him talking, and then Scarlett showed up, and that was it. Which I enjoy that too. Like, you don't have to have everyone on every week, but you need to be reminded that they're still around, so that you build up an intrigue to it. So, like, you know, even like if you want to use Thanos for Marvel, he wasn't in every single after credit, but he was in enough of them. You're like, oh, is he going to show up again? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So,
when's he popping up, baby? Yeah. Well, and speaking about when's he popping up, just because I finished AEW Dynamite shortly before we started this podcast here, I was about in tears when they were doing the genuine reactions from the crowd, and someone mouths when Kenny Omega comes out, "Oh my God, I didn't think he was coming." I'm like, really? Like, you know, to go back to that everything gets ruined, I know that that AEW has kept a tight lid on everything. All the signs were pointed at Kenny Omega.
Yeah, for sure. And especially if you, like, again, if you watch BTE, it was clear as day who it was.
Oh.
Like, okay. But I don't think they were really trying to hide it so much as it was still like, all right, still a guessing game. But yeah, like, people being shocked it was him, like, okay. But sometimes you gotta take yourself out of the position you're in, right? So we read news about it. We read behind-the-scenes stuff. We do this. We watch ridiculous amount of wrestling. Where this person may watch AEW, and that's it.
No.
And maybe not even, like, pay attention that close to the, you know, and their boyfriend or girlfriend, whoever, maybe fucking with them. And be like, yeah, Kenny Omega may be here. He may not be. We'll have to see. And...
yeah,
so it's like a genuine surprise, I guess. So,
yeah, those do happen.
Know. It'd be, yeah. So I mean, I guess for that person, it was a genuine surprise. They can't. I don't want to bag too much on it, but yeah. But it also, it's like, all right, you're not paying close attention at all. So
yeah, that's one where yeah, like to me, if you paid enough for the ticket and realized who Kenny Omega is, I would think that you follow AEW at least well enough to know that this has been telegraphed.
Yeah.
And it is kind of interesting. I suppose I'm wondering whether Kenny Omega is still really that injured that he needs all of that stuff on, or if they're just doing a sell job currently.
I'm thinking it's a sell job, but you can tell his physique is not the same right now. Hence the spandex shirt or whatever he was wearing.
Yeah, the sun shirt that he was wearing.
Yeah, so I get the feeling he's still coming back, but he's still good enough to go right now that he can, you know, not embarrass himself.
Yeah.
So I don't think all that stuff's really that necessary, but...
yeah, because, like, I heard, like, Don Callis is like, hey, if you're 30%, you go at 30%, and I'm like, that's a great way to completely wreck the rest of your life. So, I guess, if you want to do that, have at it.
Yeah. But yeah, so I... oh. So when I was discussing, like, how AEW's getting called out for their bad booking, I haven't seen this, but that segment with the guns, the gun club...
oh.
That was horrific.
I
couldn't believe how bad that turned out. I mean... okay, it was clear they were going to turn on their dad because everything in this angle has been too fast, right? And then Jim Ross is going nuts. Just disgusting. After having lost my father, you know, to see this is just disgusting. All the announcers are disgusted, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, this is terrible. And then the thing come down, and he just forgets about it and scissors with him. And I'm like, you should, at the very least, be absolutely and utterly distraught that your two sons just turned on you. And, like, dude, they want to do the scissor, and you build up the scissoring thing for a while. Like, you build up, like, the happiness for a while. Like, the Acclaim didn't need to come down. You know what I mean? Like,
they can make...
such a weird thing.
They can make the save, but, yeah, save the scissoring for another time. Like you said, yeah. Build up, I mean, like, it doesn't need to be a major thing, but have them, or have him retrust them. I mean, he's the one that, at least from what we saw on TV, was the one in charge of his boys turning on the Acclaimed. So he should be kind of wary of them anyway.
Yes. I mean,
yeah, that's the other part that's weird to me. Like, he shouldn't just be that accepting of the Acclaimed since he just booted them to the side. And I'm not sure why they're cool, that cool with them, too.
Exactly. There's that aspect, too. Like, it just... it was just so dumb. And the announcers oversold... and in the ring, they didn't sell it at all. And, I mean, if you beat up your dad, he'd be pretty upset. And all of a sudden, like, Ken comes over. He's like, scissor me, daddy. Which is No one knows who these people are outside of Ken. That'd be hilarious to see your dad do. So.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. What a great visual.
That would be a sight to see Ronald doing that.
God.
But, yeah, I
So I was just like, this stinks.
Yeah, that feud has been just terrible. Like I don't completely get why it's happened and all that other stuff. Like it is so strange. So
it's just them pushing too fast and trying to accomplish things, and it's like you're accomplishing something by going, all right, blah, 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 the end, like. Slow it down. It's fine. And even like this Moxley Punk thing, unless something weird's going on behind the scenes, this is a gigantic leap to like round out the AEW stuff again.
Oh.
Like, holy shit. I mean, they're like, and it's a classic angle. It can never be duplicated. I mean, they could, I suppose, try it, but not with the star power. But like, Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan was an entire year. Little subtle things here, little nuances here. Didn't rush it. If it, like the current AEW or Tony Khan regime was in charge, it'd be Savage with the title. Hey, get off my woman. Savage loses the title. Like 4 weeks. Like, no. You have to let stories breathe. You have to let things happen. Go different directions. Like, throw your audience off. And that is just. So we got this, we're done.
Sure. Yeah, so. I mean, I do think that the pacing of the product is just, in general, faster these days, and I don't think you can really get away with a year. I mean, I know that we've sat through some several-month feuds, and it gets a little tiring for a majority of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's WWE. I'm guessing is what you mean. That's because they're fighting every week. Or every month they fight. Like, no, you build up and build up. I guess I still have that old school thinking of stuff. They shouldn't touch each other until maybe the week before to give people a little bit of a taste of what's going on. And I know the market's different now because you don't have pay-per-views. AEW does.
No.
But WWE doesn't. Yeah. TNA has their pay-per-views. You also get them on their app, too. So you pay $12.99 a month for something, and you get a free pay-per-view out of it, basically. So, like, that's changed. But you can still do things to entice people to watch. And even like, the pay-per-view stuff for WWE, if they entice people enough with their angles, their character stories, and all that, people will sign up for Peacock to watch this stuff. And then when it comes time for negotiation rights for Peacock and the network, hey, we just brought you all these people. Here's the data to prove it. You make more money.
Oh.
So. Yeah, man, that's just, things have changed and people got to adapt and maybe a regime that may be in touch. I don't know. So. I don't know how long we've been going, by the way. So
yeah, we can wind down here, I think.
Okay, so one last thing. Have you been noticing all the little subtle DIY Johnny Gargano references?
I guess no.
Okay, so Ciampa puts Bobby Lashley in the Gargano lock.
Oh, yes.
But he called it something else. And the announcers even said, well, you got to do it yourself sometimes. And this week, him and Miz did the pat on the back thing.
Oh. But I guess that so didn't.
2 weeks in a row, that's two Johnny Gargano things.
I guess I thought that was a Ciampa thing when he started patting himself on the back when he went crazy.
Yeah, but then him and Johnny Gargano did it when they would have like a little mini reunion. They were doing it too.
Yeah, okay.
So. I've always loved that, by the way. It's just such a dickhead thing to do. Just, like, self-congratulate yourself. Like, goddamn. But,
Yeah, that was just something I noticed. And I love the Dexter Loomis throughout the show.
Oh. That's one where I'm like, hold on, if he's supposed to be attacking Corey Graves, what's the story going to be here?
He's only shown up during
AJ Styles
matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the one. Yeah. So even during the Dolph Austin or Dolph and Theory match or fight in the back, the door opened up. There was someone's hand. It was his hand. That's how he was sneaking into the building.
Oh.
And then like the dumpster fire. That's clearly him. There was a car crash last week. And then he just shows up. So I think it's just cool. And then I love the continuity because this week Indy Hartwell got a letter from him. And it got lost because Blair Davenport showed up and kind of stole the scene. But
yeah, that was fantastic. That is a fantastically bitchy way to introduce yourself to a new audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love Blair Davenport, so I hope she gets all the money. And same with Escobar. I'm fully counting on him showing up on SmackDown or Raw. And then it leaves us with an intrigue of what the hell do the other three do? We left it behind in NXT, so.
There is zero reason for them to be left behind. Especially Wild and Mendoza.
Not Mendoza anymore. It's something else.
Oh.
Oh yeah, his name changed a while ago.
Okay.
I can't remember what it is, but yeah, his name changed.
What is it, still Joaquin Wild or whatever?
Yes, Joaquin Wild and put Santos Escobar in.
Yeah, I have that pulled up, and I Cruz del Toro. Good God, yeah, I definitely missed that.
Wow, I did not realize they changed it to that. I thought they just changed his last name to Raul del Toro, but I guess not. Well, damn, all right.
Yeah, at least the report that I'm looking at is what they're reporting it as.
Yeah, I got the same thing, Wikipedia. Yeah.
So yeah, that's oof. I guess I missed that change, and that's quite a change. So
yeah, they don't need to be down there. The only problem with I already forgot his name.
They can be a tag team. Like I think that's one of the reasons that Hit Row is back. If they want to have at least a viable tag team division, they need help. Like that is definitely part of that depth issue that the WWE had. Like they needed something more than just New Day versus the Usos and Street Profits versus the Usos. Like all the feuds have pretty much been done at this point. Like those teams need some fresh bodies to take on. And Del Toro and Wild fit that bill perfectly. I don't think they're going to win the championships, but they can fill in a championship match or a match against the Street Profits, something like that. Like they've got a use on the main roster.
It's like, I know they like having put guys over on the way out, which is always weird. You're moving the same company, but but they still could have. Well, where Escobar won and was like, "All right, Nick, you so loyal. We got a call. Like they get a call, and he's like, the family's moving up or something like that." You know, so he still like beats Tony D. I enjoy the way he lost. A little selfish, going after weapons instead of just wrestling. like as they or fight with their fists like they were. So I like that aspect of it, but
oh yeah,
and I was like, got brass knucks or a tire iron? Who do you think is gonna win? So
yeah, always helps to have a little reach.
Yeah, so more intrigue for SmackDown and Raw, that's for sure.
We'll see. I don't know if he'll necessarily show up, but I would imagine it's sometime after Clash at the Castle.
Yeah, I would think so. And get the hype up.
For yeah,
a new like the new seasons of the shows and stuff. So
do it to it.
Yep. All right, let's get the hell out of here. We actually hit everything we wanted to talk about for a change.
Yeah, Bell Time Beer on this end here. It was one of the lovely beverages that the wife got after her family vacation. Country Boy Brewing, Witness the Citrus, double hop, double dry hopped New England IPA. It is quite tasty. And evidently it was inspired by the Red River Gorge down there in Kentucky. It's a pretty damn tasty New England IPA. I would highly suggest if you happen to run down to Kentucky to stop down in Georgetown and check these guys out. Anything on your end, cool. Sir?
Nah, I said water. I had a few beers before we started the show when I was at a heist, which I think you've been to, and then
yep.
Noto's OG. So had some banger food today, that's for sure. Like Brooks, it's this little Brooks is a famous like burger joint, and it's cash only. There's nowhere to sit. You can stand at a table outside, and just your straight greasy spoon, and yeah. It was really good. The chili didn't overwhelm the hamburger. It's one of those, like, you know, chili, onions, mustard, which I can't do the mustard, unfortunately. Hamburgers, really good. And then the fries were wedges that were cooked, like, deep-fried perfect. I was like, oh, my God, I'm in heaven right now. And then had a hot dog with jalapeno pimento cheese and one crispy strip of bacon. Not overwhelming, not bacon bites, a strip of bacon. Excellent. From a food truck. I couldn't believe how good it was. So, and had Bossy Bulas, famous chicken joint here. Really good shit. So, yep.
Fair enough. Food recommendations from at Granny Mays. Beer recommendations from at DeFrango11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.